Thank you.
Thank
well,
you.
Yeah, we've got our questions in the chat, everybody. I'm going to put you in some breakout rooms randomly assigned for about 15 minutes, and then we'll come back and have some more time with Leslie to close out some Q&R until about 11:30 our time. So please accept the invitation to your breakout room, and I'll call you all back automatically at about 11:15 or 11:16. The questions are in the chat also. Okay, I see a hand. I think Diane is raising a hand. Diane, if you want to unmute.
Okay.
And Leslie also.
I had the feeling, Leslie, you're just wonderful. And I had the feeling that I wished you would just explode and just tell us like it is, what really went on, what really happened, and because you were so academic and so proper, and I know there's more behind there, and it would have been wonderful to hear.
Oh, Diane, thank you. Somebody asked for this book title, that's why I'm holding it up. Thank you, Diane. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm from a long line of educators, and then I resisted education. Mm-hmm. It's kind of funny now that I'm talking. It's really God's sense of humor. Thank you. I'm pretty even-tempered person and pretty calm. When I'm wounded, I have gained voice where I can acknowledge that sometimes. It's just, I mean, that moved me today when I read that about whitewashing Jesus. You know, I mean, just think of how screwed up that is.
Yeah.
I mean, and to do, I mean, God, you know, and then you have slave people who you have enslaved that you choose to baptize to save their souls, but you don't give a damn about their bodies, about their well-being. Excuse my language. I don't do that often. My dad just turned over in his grave. But just trying to make that point, how can you be concerned about my soul when you don't care about me? What is it to say you're, oh my gosh. I mean, what is that? I mean, to even take the scripture and then, and oh, to intentionally say, oh, you don't need this part. You don't need this part. You know, because those are parts that, condemn what you are doing and encouraging people to be uplifted and calling for people's liberation. I mean, I just think Christianity that doesn't address liberation is not the Christianity of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Leslie. Okay, I think I saw another hand somewhere, if you could raise it. Okay, Cindy.
Hi, Leslie. I really I don't know what, really how to say thank you enough. You really got me on the poem that you wrote when you say.
Uh-huh.
I hope that we can get a copy of that.
Yeah.
And as a white person, I think I learned a lot about myself in that poem. And trying to protect my own ego, trying to protect my own experience. And so if we could get a copy of it, I'd really appreciate it. And then also-
I'll have it up.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I pasted it in the chat also, Cindy, it's already there.
Oh, okay.
Oh, thank you. Okay,
thank you, I'm not that quick. But the other thing, do you consider yourself a womanist?
Yes.
Okay, good. Thank you. Because I just got a book on how it's written by a Black woman, and it's about how white women see Jesus as Christ and Black women see Jesus as Jesus. And that took me on a real, and she considered herself a womanist. And that took me into your talk, very much so, on a real personal level. And I've always been curious how being a woman fits into the Black body. You know, for me, when I had to do an exercise on a retreat, I was human first, and then I was a woman. And that surprised me. And I've just been curious how other people, other women of color, really, if they had to do some sort of viewing of themselves, how that would happen, do you think? Is that an unfair question?
No. Yes, I think I am human first. I am human first. And I'm intrigued by how you began with the difference in how we see Jesus. And I actually think that's really good, because I think I see Jesus as a blending of the two.
Me too.
Kind of a both and. I guess that, I don't know if that's Richard Rohr's influence of both and, or if it's just the way my mind works.
But I'm intrigued with the fact that there are, that that's happening. You know, that is what is happening to some people's lives.
I'm sorry, I got lost. That what's happening?
That there are people that see Jesus as Christ, and then that there are people that see people as see Jesus as Jesus. And I'm not, you know, I don't want to take a lot of you this time here, but I'll give you the title of the book.
Okay, but I'm thinking that even the concept of Christ would be open to interpretation. And so I would think, yeah, see, language is so problematic, you know, because we can't express, especially for dealing with issues of the divine, you know? Yeah. So, yeah, I can see where, I mean, I think it's kind of like how I talked about how the Black church sees the story of the Exodus, you know, as being our story in a personal way, that I think that normative Christianity does not. I think the story is known and it may be talked about, but to feel a connection to what that is, I don't think the normative church gets that.
I agree.
Thank you. Got another couple of questions in the chat, and I see a couple more hands as well. First one here is, what kind of contemplation is critical for us right now at this time when we are so called to action?
I think contemplation is different for each person, because each person has their own practice. So when you go to action, I would not encourage you to go without the contemplation too, because you'll end up having burnout. But I think we have to be creative in our thinking and thinking in larger terms. There's one piece I wrote on my blog, and the schools here were integrated before I graduated high school, maybe like from junior high school on. And sadly, what I have realized is that the school system, and it's not just here, I would imagine it's anywhere in the country where they've gone through segregation and moved to integration, is that there was an integration of bodies, but there was not an integration of minds and integration of hearts. So I wrote one piece. I finished high school in 1976, and that was a big bicentennial year. So I wrote a piece on my blog taking us from before we were born. Like I mentioned, that we were born into a system that was already in place. We didn't control the system that we were born into. And these are things that happened before our birth. And so I talked about
you know, Brown versus Board of Education, but we were still in integrated school, segregated schools. And that I talked about different things that happened, you know, the governor, George Wallace, saying, standing at the University of Alabama, saying segregation today, segregation tomorrow, segregation forever. And then the troops being called in, federalized, to protect students going in. And the murder of John F. Kennedy happening while we were in kindergarten, you know, and I went through a number of things and was actually caused an outroar among my classmates in a Facebook group. I'm sorry, by classmates who were white. They said it wasn't appropriate, that it was political. And so I ended up leaving and starting a separate group. So I did have actually a classmate who was white who actually supported me and wrote a statement of support saying that that was racism, causing them to complain about what I posted. And so she and I together started, we left that group and started another group. So that we can't even talk about what we experienced. How asinine is that? That's some of the fire I think Diane wants to hear in my voice.
Thank you. I think, Molly, do you have a question? Or you just need to unmute if so.
Ingrid did.
I saw Molly first, but.
Go ahead, Molly.
Molly, if you have one, you can unmute.
No, that's okay. I was just saying something to my husband about something. Sunset laws, which were a shock to me, right?
Okay, Ingrid, go ahead and unmute.
I was just, it was a comment related to Cindy and Leslie's talk. And I'm just, you know, the book, The Universal Christ, is there really a, when people get to the level of knowing and experiencing who the Christ is, we're all gonna do it through our separate lenses. But is there really that huge of a gap when we're at that the point of spirituality where some of Richard Rohr talks about in that book takes place? That was my question to either one of you, but I guess especially Leslie.
Yeah, Ingrid, I think that, yeah, I appreciate your comment. I think your question, I think that, well, yeah, you raised a question and you made a comment, so I appreciate both of them. But I think that's part of what I mean by the limitations of language. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so, which is actually another problem with Christianity, and I am a Christian, but you know, those who say that all you have to be a Christian, all you have to do is say, I believe this, this, this. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter that you kick your dog when you get out of bed first thing every morning. You know, mm-hmm. It doesn't matter that you beat your spouse. As long as you say, I believe this, 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 this. So because I'm not walking in the shoes of other people, I don't know what leads them to mm-hmm. where they are with mm-hmm. their understanding of that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to police people on that. I think that... Yeah, I think there's so many problems that's one that I don't see as a problem. That's something I don't see as a problem. Is that answering what you're asking?
I think I answered my own question while you were talking, thanks to you. And I think I always wanted to believe that we could all get to a level of pure love of Christ that we would be totally unified, but as I was thinking, we're still going to bring to that who we are and how we've been raised and what race we're in or what group.
Well, we're going to be influenced by our woundings. Yeah. We're going to be influenced by our burial bands, but we also have a capacity to heal from that.
Yeah.
And untie our burial bands by saying this part of this system, I reject.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
if there's time for me to add one more element, it's very interesting, this discussion, the manner in which different groups of people, different races see Jesus. And one thing that has struck me increasingly is that in the ways that many types of people, many races, many sexes see Jesus, they almost always deny the essential fact that he was a Jew. That it's denied in art, you know, the portrayal of what I call the IKEA Jesus. There is a broad denial of his race. And you know, I'm increasingly struck by that, particularly now that there is an emphasis on what on the teachings of Jesus with respect to the acceptance of all people. And I sometimes feel that Christianity does not accept his heritage and his race, even him as a person in that regard.
Okay, I agree that I think Christianity has a hard time accepting the fact that Jesus was Jewish. I think that the way the concept of the Jewish people as a race was used before, or as a people, that's how I prefer to see it. I prefer to say that it's a Jewish people instead of a Jewish race, because I think it complicates the construct of race that has been created for economic gain. And I think that our understanding of races, primarily there were three that were supported supposedly by science, that we are so immersed in that and it's so flawed, that I'm cautious about speaking about the Jewish race, even though I understand that, and I understand the difference. But yes, he was definitely Jewish. And I think in Christianity's denial of that, it makes it easier for the normative not to, that experience I spoke about of the Exodus, I think that may be a consequence of that. So much. Okay. There's a book by Mitri Raheb, Faith in the Face of Empire. He's a Palestinian Christian. I think he may be a Lutheran pastor, maybe from Bethlehem. It's a beautiful book, and it speaks about the relationship to scripture that Christians who are Palestinian have, because it's like, this is about their family. You know, it happened on their land. It's the connection. It's a powerful book.
Hmm. Yes, and you're right to point out the noun is an issue.
Yeah.
With respect to Jews. It's just that increasingly I'm struck by this inability of Christians to recognize, you know, his origins and his people. Right.
Did you hear about the church that ordered a crucifix and then they refused it because they said that he looked like a Jewish man?
No, I didn't, but it doesn't surprise me. And in all my travels, and I've lived abroad a lot of my life, I've only once seen a depiction of Jesus. It was in an ancient rock monastery in Sicily when he actually looked like a Jew.
Wow. Do you have that image?
I had it at one point.
Wow.
I would have to look, but it was very striking because it was so distinctive and real.
Not normative. Oh, wow.
Exactly, not normative, right? Not the IKEA Jesus.
Not the IKEA Jesus.
Well, thanks again, Leslie, for this engagement this morning. And I know that we're just a few minutes over, so wanted to toss it back to Mary
Ann. Oh, wow, we're over already?
We're doing good though. It's okay. We go over every week about this much. So thank you so much. And I'm going to throw it back to Mary Ann to take us away here.
Okay. Thank you, Leslie, for your beautiful words. And you really spoke from a very deep place. I was brought to tears. I think your words were just perfect for our community to hear how we need to stand in the face of justice from a place of deep presence and love. And you certainly did that this morning. Your presence said more than even your words could say, beyond words. And I'm going to take us out with a quote from Howard Thurman, which really speaks to that. In the stillness of the quiet, if we listen, we can hear the whisper of the heart, giving strength to weakness, courage to fear, hope to despair. Thank you. And next week, we have another wonderful presentation by James Joyce, our own community activist, community builder, and founder of the movement Coffee with a Black Guy. So again, thank you for your words and your presence this morning.